let's try to make some progress in the Rambam's Hakdama in his Pirush HaMishnayos to Zvachim. We pointed out so far that the Rambam has divided up Kodshim into two kinds of karbonos. One category is the Karban Tzibur, and the Rambam goes into great detail to categorize all the different types of Karbonos Tzibur that apply on a daily basis, in the case of the Shnei Tmidim, apply on Shabbos, apply in Rosh Chodesh, apply in other Moadim, calculating how many different Karbonos Tzibur there are, the Musafim, in addition to the Tmidim. That was the Rambam's discussion about Karban Tzibur. And the Rambam points out that these are Karbonos that are set in stone. They are Ein Mosif and Aleim V'Ein Pochsim Mehem. And he says that what's common to all these Karbonos Tzibur is, number one, the Docha Shabbos, number two, the Docha Tumah. Now, he points out to Rambam that shlamim of the four categories of karbonos do not lend themselves, thank you so much, to a karban tzibur, with the exception of karbonos that are brought on Chag HaTzeres, which are called Kivsei HaTzeres. Those are shalmei tzibur. And as a general rule, all the other karbonos tzibur do not fit into the category called shlamim. The only case of shlamim is that one rare case on Chag HaShavuos. And he points out that an asham could never lend itself to a karban tzibur. So basically we have the following. We have olos. We have chatos. We have one case of shlamim. All the above are karbonos tzibur. Asham is out of the picture. And he points out that with regard to chatos, we have two different categories of a chatos tzibur, and that has to do with the soyer shel Yom HaKippurim. And he tells you that we'll get into this in the Mishneh Torah of the Rambam. Then we get to Karban Yachid. And the Rambam does a fantastic job here by dividing up Karban Yachid into five subcategories. The first, which we touched upon yesterday, is a Karban Chatos, which is brought by someone who violated any one of the 36 Chayve Krisus that are listed at the beginning of Masechta Krisus, Bishogeg. So unintentionally he violated Shabbos or Chelev, whatever it might be, and he brings a Karban Yochid, a Chatos. The Rambam then subtracts three of those Chayve Krisus from the list of 36, reducing the number to 33, and those three that he removes from the list are Pesach, Mila, and Megadev. In those three cases, even if he violates a Chiv Kares, for example, if he doesn't circumcise himself, if he doesn't bring the Karban Pesach, or in the case of Megadev, in those cases, he doesn't bring a Karban Chatos, even if he violates those Yisur B'Shogeg, but the balance of 33 are all Karbonos that are obligatory on the person who violated B'Shogeg, any of those 33 Yisurim, and he has to bring a Karbon Chatos. The Rambam tells us that if he violates any of those Yisurim, but he's not sure, it's a case of a Safek, we gave the example yesterday, he doesn't know if he ate chalev or if he ate shuman. Then the Rambam says he brings a karban asham. However, he says that there are exceptions to karban asham as well. Just like we mentioned earlier, there are three chayvei krisus out of the 36 that did not generate a karban chatos. Then in a case of Suffolk, there are cases where he's not going to be chayv in Asham, and that's called Metame Migdash Vikadoshav. Okay. Now, he has a long discussion about the different types of animals that he brings in the different cases and the different karbanos, and maybe we'll get a chance to study that in depth. You have to know more of the nuances here. But then he goes and presents another category of a karban yachid. So let's just read first the list of subcategories of karban yachid. And for those of you who might have the text in front of you, it's on page Yud Aleph. And it starts with the paragraph V'hasug. So he's now discussed karban Sibur, now he's on Karban Yachid. And the Karban Yachid as a category is divided up into five subcategories. Achelik HaRishon Shishchayv HaYachid Karban Al Maisa Sha'asa O Al Dibur Shediber. So he brings a Karban Yachid either on a Maisa, which would mean one of those 33 Lavim that generated an Iser Kares, or a Dibur. And the Dibur has to do with the parasha of Shvuah. That if he takes a Shvuah Sheker, like Shvuah Sa'edus, Shvuah Sa'pikadon, say after a Shvuah Sheker, he has to bring a Karban Yachid. Okay, so that requires study unto itself, the parasha of Dibur, a Karban Yachid that has to be brought because of a falsification of the truth. Chelak Hasheni, she is chayav korban b'matzav misuyam sheyaralo. He is in a certain state of being, and in that state of being, he's chayav to bring a korban. Chelak Hashlishi, she is chayav b'kach b'matzav misuyam b'mamono. As a result of his possession of his property, he has to bring a korban yochid. Number four, Hachelik Ravish is Chayvakach Bigia Zman Misuyam, that just like we saw that Zman generates a Chiyuv Karban Tzibur, so too Zman could generate a Chiyuv Karban Yochid. And Chelikach Hamishi is Chayvakach Es Atzmo Mirtsono Hu. He decides on his own free will to accept an obligation to bring a Karban Yochid. This is a fantastic piece here in the Ram. I mean, there's nowhere in any Mishnah or in any Gemara that you'll find this analysis, that the Rambam, with his original insight, would come up with five different categories of a Karban Yachid. So the first category, as we said, is Maisa Adibur, which means that he violated the Torah, and as a result he has to bring a Karban. The second category was she's chayav korban b'matzav misuyam. What does that mean, b'matzav misuyam? So this is on the bottom of page Yud Beis. Hachelik Hasheni, she's chayav korban b'matzav misuyam she'ya'aralo. The who, number one, imnasa zav. Number two, O Mitzora. Or number three, he's a Nazir, and he contaminated himself. Nitma b'meis v'hoya Nazir. And it matters not in any of these Tuma cases, whether he became a Zav, a Mitzora, or he came in contact with the dead, b'shogeg o b'zadon. All those distinctions are only relevant to the first category of what he calls Maiso Dibur, not relevant to the second category. So a person may have deliberately contaminated himself, and yet he has to bring a carbon as part of the process of Tara, of purification. Now we have the case of a convert, has to bring carbonos. Those are all carbonos yochid. They are generated not by a maisa, but rather by a matzav, by a status. And a yoledes, once again, she's not guilty of any crime. She has to bring a carbon yoledes. Now he goes into all the details of these five cases of Tuma. The Rambam now is going to go into detail about Tuma Vitara, a person who contracted Tuma. He's got Tuma Yoledes, in the case of Yoledes, Tuma Zav, Tuma Mitzora, and which Karbono, and a Nazir that was Matami himself, which Karbonos exactly does he bring? I'm not going to go through all the details, but I do want to point out something that caught my eye on page Yud Gimel, and that is when he speaks about the carbon of a ger, he says that Ein Knisoso Ledas, his entry into the Das Yehudis and his status change to become a Jew, Nishlemis, cannot be complete. Sheyia Kishar Yisrael, Ela B'shlosha Dvarim, there are three conditions that have to be met in order to effectuate his change in status. Number one, he needs Mila, that's only for a male. Or number two, he needs Tvila. And number three, he needs Hartzos Karbon, he needs to bring the Karbon Ager. The Rambam here is indicating that the Karbon Ager is a critical part of Gerus. It's not just the Chovas Gavra, it is a Maisa Magayer. And this, I think, could be supported by Gemara and Krisus that asks Bisman HaZeh, now that we don't have Karbonos, how do we accept Gerus? The Gemara quotes a separate pasuk, a Yalfusa, that teaches me that we can accept Gerus even Bisman HaZeh. But what caught my eye here is he takes a little bit of a digression, which he hasn't done until this point, to give us the source. How do we derive the Karbon Ager? And he writes, Kamo Gabi Yisrael, we derive it from Klal Yisrael, Kasher Nichnesu Ledas Hashem, when Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai entered into the fold, we became converts, Molosom, Hashliach b'Mitzrayim. The Shliach here is, you guessed it, Moshe Rabbeinu. And here's the one case where I saw the Rav Kapach add something other than just the translation in his footnotes. And he tells you to take a look in Shir HaShir Rabbah. And there you'll find that Moshe is called by Chazal a Shliach. He is the paradigm of the Shliach of Hashem. And back in Mitzrayim, when he commanded them on the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, he told them, Lo yochal mimenu orel, that someone who's not circumcised is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach, and therefore, every Jew who needed Mila subjected himself to Mila. Could be a shame that Levi didn't have to do so, they were already gemalt. And Tvila, he says, was Bamidbar lefnei matan Torah, right before the Torah was given. The Torah says, V'chibastem esim lo seichem, and Chazal say, Rashi quotes it in Chumash, that's Tevila. Vekrivu Olos, at the time of Har Sinai, the acceptance of the Torah, they brought Olos Ushlamim. And he quotes the Pasuk for this, and then the Torah was given. So the Torah being given and being accepted by the Klal Yisrael was the clincher of an entire process of Geirus that took place, beginning in Mitzrayim with Mila, at the time before Matan Torah with Tvila, and there was Hartzas Damim, there were Karbonos that were brought by the Nari Yisrael on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael at the time of Matan Torah. And finally, the Kabbalah's mitzvahs took place at Nasa and Ishma when they accepted Torah at Har Sinai. Fast forwarding, Hachelik Ashlishi, the third category of a Korban Yochid, Sheishchai B'Korban B'Matzav Mesuyam B'Mamono, as a result of his ownership and property. And he gives the following examples. Meiser Behema, so if you have 10 animals, you have to separate one out of the 10. And Bechor, your firstborn animal has to be brought to the Mizbeach. And he says that this is the third category of a Korban Yochid. Brilliant chap over here, because it's not a Zman Mesuyam, it's not an Avera, it's not a Matav Mesuyam, meaning a change in the status of the person in when he contracts tumah, but it's a din in his mama. The mama, the ownership of this mama, whether it's bechor or it's behema, ma'isa behema, generates the chi of karbon. Hachelik haravi, she is chay of karbon behigiyaz man misuya. Wow. We said that a karbon tzibur is generated by his man. Kedushas hazman, or in the case of the shnei tmidim, even chol. But Yachid, that's not related to time. Time doesn't generate a chiyuv karban yachid. He says, that's the karma chagiga. I know, Ben, you're into the karma chagiga. Here's a chance for you to wave the flag of the karma chagiga. At Sholosh Regolim, kol echad miyisrael chayav beregel karban olav hunikra olas re'iya. Actually, the three karbanos that each and every one of us has to bring during the Regolim, one is called Olas Re'iya, Karban Shlamim, which is called Chagiga, and he quotes the Pasuk for this, and Shalmei Simcha, which is derived from a different Pasuk. So he has here three cases where a Zman generates a Karban Yochid. Now, what about the Karban Pesach? So that, the Rambam says, falls into a category which is somewhere in between a Karban Yochid and a Karban Tzibur. And finally, Achelik HaChamishi, he says, this on page Yudalid, and that's Bekach, She Yishchai Bekach Es Atzmo, Yishchai Bekach Es Atzmo Mirtzono Hu. So here we have what's called a Karban Nedava. And he says that even within a Karban Nedava, you could have two categories. One is related to Zman, and one is not related to Zman. The one that's related to Zman, he says, HaMechayev Esatzmo B'Nezirus L'Zman Mesuyam, included in his Neder, to observe Nezirus for a certain period of time, is a commitment to bring, again, a voluntary karbon at the end of his nazirus. It's interesting because it's not really voluntary, because when he completes his nazirus, he's obligated in that karbon, but the entire entity of nazirus was voluntary. Or we could have a neder nedava that's not related at all to Zman, that's called Yidar Neder O Yisnadev Nedava, and that's going to be the five categories. So Rabosai, at this point, I would offer you a quiz. You'd have to close the Rambam, and you'd have to write to me, give me five. Okay, if you wrote it down, then it's not a fair quiz. But if you haven't written it down, can you tell me by heart the five different subcategories of a Karban Yochid? Let's see if we could quickly review them. The first category is a person who violated one of the Torah's commandments for which you'd be chayev in a case of mezid kares, in a case of shogeg, you bring a karma chatos, that's maisa, and then he has dibur, in a case where he takes a shvus ha'edus, or a shvus pikadon, and he lied under oath, that requires a karban yachid. That is category number one. Category number two is someone who's in a matzav misuyam. In other words, he's a zav, he's a tamei of a different sort, or he's a ger, or yoledes. That's another karban yachid. Then we have a karban yachid that's a result of mamon, of someone's ownership. Then we, which is Bechor Maser. Then we have a karban yachid that's a result of zman, which are the three karbanos has to bring during the Shalosh Regalim. And finally, we have the last category of a karban that's not generated neither by a maisa, nor by a zman, nor by bailus, nor by tuma. What generates the karban is his own acceptance, self-acceptance, a neder, or a nedav. So it's really fascinating when you think about it, because of these five categories, I would divide it up into four on one side and one on the other. The last of the five subcategories of a karban yachid is radically, fundamentally different than the other four. The other four are generated as a chiyuv, they're obligatory, under different situations. Whether it's because of a maisa that was done, whether it's because of the tumah that he's in, or the mamon that he has, or because of a zman misuyam in the case of chagiga, etc. But karban nedava is not generated at all by anything. It's just a neder or a nedava. And b'li neder, at some point, we'll have a long discussion about the difference between a neder and a nedava. Okay, then. So we're almost at the end of the Rambam's Hakdama to Zrayim, to Kachin. And now we go back to the Gemara here in Pesachim in Perek Tomin Nishchat. And we're up to Tana Rabbanan. So we're on Nunches Amud Aleph. And we're about two-thirds, or a little bit less than two-thirds of the way down. Tana Rabbanan. Maybe the easiest way of finding it is counting up from the wide lines up to the thinner lines by about, let's say, eight lines. Tana Rabbanan. Now, this Braisa records a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. And it's all about the zman of the Shchitas Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim on various occasions. What I would suggest is that you can map out this sugya on paper, dividing it up into three different shitos. We're going to have three different amoraim, each with his own take on this braisa that records a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. What is the machlokas? We'll have three different shitos in the Gemara. I have it here in my own handwriting. First, let's read the braisa, because a lot of the discussion that's going to come up amongst the Amoraim depends upon the language of the braisa. Tana Rabbanan kisiduro bechol kach siduro b'Shabbos divrei Rabbi Yishmael. And we're going to see that Rabbi Yishmael is equating, with regard to the Zman Shchitas Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim, Chol and Shabbos. But it's very, very vague. It lends itself to so many different possible interpretations. Rabbi Akiva omer kesiduro b'erev Pesach. That if you're talking about the time period for the Shechitas Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, then you should equate it with Erev Pesach. Now, just on a textual basis, the contrast between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is Shabbos versus Erev Pesach. And it's interesting because in the context of the language of Rabbi Shmuel, Shabbos, before we get to Rabbi Akiva, there's no mention of Pesach at all. All he mentions is Chol and Shabbos. And it really sounds like he's not interested in Pesach. There's nothing in the words of Rabbi Shmuel in the Brice as we have it that indicates that Rabbi Shmuel is addressing Pesach. And the only, shall I say, moving force here that would introduce Pesach is Rabbi Akiva's language of Erev Pesach. But if we only had Rabbi Akiva's statement, I would leave out any discussion of Pesach at all. And in that context, Rabbi Yishmael is addressing the following question. We know that on a regular day of Chol, the Zman of the Shechitas Bein Arbayim is 8.5 hours. We're going to see later that the reason why we delay it by 2 hours is because of the massive volume of Nedarim and Nedavos. Now Rabbi Yishmael wants to know, what do we do with Shabbos? On Shabbos there's no Nedarim and Nedavos because those Karbanos are not Docha Shabbos. And the issue now becomes whether should we maintain that delay from 6.5 to 8.5 even on Shabbos. And one could ostensibly argue that on Shabbos, since there are no Nedarim and Nedavos, let's go back to the Ikar Halacha and let's bring the Karban Tumah as early as possible, which would be 6.5 hours. On the other hand, you can identify with Rabbi Shmuel, and he wants to flatten out the all the Gavshushios, you know, and he wants to equate both Shabbos and Chol as far as the Zman of Shechitas Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim. We call it a low plug kind of concept. And just like during the weekday, we delay the Karban Tumah for 2 hours because of the burden of Nedarim and Nedavos, then we're not going to make any distinctions. And even on Shabbos, where there are no Nedarim and Nedavos, we don't have that reasoning that, that compels us to delay the Karban Tumah. Well, nevertheless, we'll delay it. We want to have one standard Zman for Shabbos and Chol. That would have been a possible explanation of Rabbi Shmuel, and notice no mention whatsoever of Pesach. The problem is that Rabbi Akiva, in this very same Braisa, introduces Erev Pesach. And it makes sense, therefore, that we might want to reinterpret Rabbi Shmuel in the light of Rabbi Akiva, because we're assuming that they're debating on a common ground. Maika Omar, and this introduction I think will lead us directly into Abaye, which is the first of again three interpretations of this Brice and this Machlok Shin Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Hachi Komar, this is what the Brice has in mind. We're talking not about Shabbos in general, but rather Shabbos on the 14th of Nisan. And this is what Rabbi Shmuel is telling us. Kisiduro bechol b'erev Pesach, kach siduro b'shabbos b'erev Pesach. The entire discussion here is about the 14th of Nisan. And we know that on the 14th of Nisan, the Mishnah has established that the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim should be brought earlier than it would normally be brought on any other calendar day in the year. And the reason for that, as we discussed, is because the Pesach could only be brought after the Karban Tamid. And the later you bring the Tamid, the later you're going to start the process of bringing the Pesachim. And that's going to overwhelm the Kohanim who are doing the Avodah of all these massive amounts of Pesachim. So we have a vested interest that wants us to push the Zman of the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim earlier. And as the Mishnah establishes it, that's going to be 1 hour early. Instead of 8.5 hours, it's going to be 7.5 hours. That's in a case of Erev Pesach Shechal B'chol. What happens in Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos? Says Rabbi Yishmael, the same time should apply. And that is 7.5 hours. Kisiduro Bechol, if the 14th of Nisan is on a weekday, Kach Siduro B'Shabbos. If the 14th of Nisan is on Shabbos, the same din will apply. And the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim will be brought at 7.5 hours. Now, the truth be told, that I would say intuitively, Rabbi Shmuel is 100% correct. What difference does it make whether the 14th of Nisan, that day that's very precious in the Beis Hamikdash, requires a massive amount of Karbanos Pesachim, is a weekday or a Shabbos? Nothing has changed whatsoever. So that if the 14th of Nisan is on Shabbos, we should start at 7.5. And if anybody disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel, the burden of proof is on that Tana, in this case Rabbi Akiva, to disagree. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kisiduro B'Erev HaPesach Shechalios B'Erev Shabbos, Kach Siduro B'Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva, in the case of Shabbos, he understands that there's no motivation to delay the Karban Tamid because there's no Nedarim and Nedavos. If that be the case, says Rabbi Akiva, then on Shabbos, we should go back to the earliest possible time to bring the Karban, which is 6.5 hours. So you may ask me, is there any precedent for such a thing? Do we find on any possible day of the entire year that the Karban Tamid is brought as early as 6.5 hours? Says Rabbi Akiva, yes, we have a precedent here in our Mishnah. And that is the case of Erev Pesach. Just 1 second. Let me read it again, I'm sorry. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kisiduro B'Erev HaPesach Shechal Lios B'Erev Shabbos. Excellent. I just missed one word when I was reading it. What happens when Friday is the 14th of Nisan? Now we have an additional consideration, and that is the Tzlias HaPesach, because we have to fit in the Tzlias HaPesach before nightfall, because nightfall will bring in the Shabbos. Therefore, when the 14th of Nisan is on a Friday, we're going to Shech the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim at the earliest possible time, and that is Sheshu Mechza. The same thing should apply, says Rabbi Akiva, Kach Siduro B'Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos. If the 14th of Nisan is not a Friday, but rather it's a Shabbos, then we should logically go back to the earliest time for the Karban Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim. Again, we don't have the same exact identical motivating factor as we do in a case where the 14th of Nisan is a Friday. There the motivating factor is to get in the Tzliyas HaPesach. That's not an issue in our discussion here, because we're discussing a case where the 14th of Nisan is on Shabbos, and he can postpone the Tzliyas HaPesach until after Shabbos. No problem. But, says Rabbi Akiva, since we have a massive amount of korbanos on our shoulders, insofar as the 14th of Nisan, we have to bring the Pesachim. And on the other hand, there's nothing motivating us to postpone the Karban Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim because there are no Nedarim and Nedavos on Shabbos. Then A plus B equals C. We should therefore bring the Karban Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim at the earliest possible time, namely at 6.5 hours. No, you'll ask me, but there is no such animal. There is such an animal. And that's the case where the 14th of Nisan is on Friday. And there, we're going to bring the Karban Tumid at the earliest possible time, Sheshu Mechza, because we have to fit in the Tzliya. Even though Rabbi Akiva admittedly would have to concede that that factor doesn't kick in the case where the 14th of Nisan is on a Shabbos, we have no issue, we can postpone the Tzliya of the Karban Pesach till after Shabbos, but nevertheless, why shouldn't we bring the Karban Tumid at the earliest possible time? There's no Nedarim and Nedavos. We have a massive amount of Karbanos Pesach to bring. Why not clear the way for the Karban Pesach at the earliest possible time by bringing the Karban Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim at 6.5 hours? In a regular Shabbos, true, you don't have the motivating factor of Nedarim and Nedavos, but nevertheless, there's no massive amount of Karbanos Pesach on a regular Shabbos, so there's no motivation to make the Karban as early as possible. And therefore, we're going to equate Shabbos with Chol.
Rabbi.
And we're going to bring the Karban Tumid at 8:30. Yeah.
Rabbi. Well, but on Shabbos we have the Musaf, so wouldn't that...
All right, so let's get to Musaf a little bit later, because Musaf is a one-time Karban. There's not a massive amount of individuals who bring a Karban Musaf. As we saw in the Rambam in his Hakdama to Kodshim, Musaf is a Karban Tzibur. So we'll bring the Karban Tzibur at, let's say, 11:30, at 12 noon. We'll have to see more about the Dinim of Karban Musaf. And we don't have any motivation to postpone the Karban Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim. So again, Rabosai, let's review Abaye. Abaye understands that the Machlokes in this Braisa addresses the case of Erev Pesach. It's the 14th of Nisan. Okay. Now, the 14th of Nisan, if it's a weekday, correct? That's called Sidur B'chol, the Erev Pesach. Then we bring the Karban Tumah at 7.5 hours. If it's Shabbos, Rabbi Yishmael insists that we should maintain the same time of 7.5 hours. Logically, we justify Rabbi Yishmael by saying that we want an early shechita of the Karban Tumah on Erev Pesach, because of the massive volume of Pesachim. Says Rabbi Shmuel, just like during the week, we made it 1 hour earlier. We refused to make it 2 hours earlier because of Nedarim and Nedavos. We're going to apply that same uniform halacha even on Shabbos, despite the fact that there are no Nedarim and Nedavos. We have to make it earlier than the classic day of Chol when the Korban is Atonement is brought at 8:30. We have to leave more room for the Korban Pesach. But we're not going to make it as early as 6.5 hours. Even though you might argue, well, why shouldn't you, if you want to maximize the time for Korban Pesach, why not start at 6:30 in the morning? I mean, I'm sorry, 6:30 in the afternoon. Because there are no Nedarim and Nedavos. So here's where Rabbi Shmuel flattens it out. And he says that on a regular of Pesach, during Chol, which falls out on a Chol, you bring the Korban, Tom and Shabbat and Bayim at 7:30, that's what we're going to do even on Shabbos, if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. Comes along Rabbi Yishmael, I'm sorry. Comes along Rabbi Akiva, and he says, wait a minute. You, Rabbi Yishmael, want to uniform and flatten it out? Well, I have a precedent for bringing the Korban Tomid at the earliest possible time, Neli Sheshma Mechza. And that's going to be in the case where Erev Pesach is on a Friday. And we have to consider the rush the job here because of the Tzlias HaPesach. Why not use that as a precedent for Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos? Because we have no Nedarim and Nedavos. There's nothing inhibiting us from beginning and bringing the Korban Tomid at the earliest possible time to maximize the Pesachim that we have. And that makes Shabbos unique amongst the 14, you know, all the other possible days of Chol that the 14th of Nisan coincides with. And what are you going to tell me? Well, we want to equate it with Erev Pesach Shechalios B'chol. Well, there we have Nedarim and Nedavos. Why not find a precedent that allows us to bring the Tamid at its earliest possible time, namely at Sheshma Mechza? We have such a precedent. And that is the case where the 14th of Nisan is on a Friday. Now, you may argue, well, okay, the 14th of Nisan on a Friday requires that we start as early as possible so we can get in with ample time the Tzliya before Shabbos. That doesn't apply in a regular Shabbos. But nevertheless, if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos and we have enough of a motivation to want to start the process of the Korban Tomid as early as possible, I don't need any justification to start at 6:30. When we were dealing with Friday, we wanted to break new ground and justify changing the time of the Korban Tomid and making it as early as Sheshu Mechza. So we had to introduce the variable of Tzliya. But now we've set a new pattern. We've broken new ground, says Rabbi Akiva. Once we have a precedent for bringing the Korban Tomid as early as 6:30, why not fit Shabbos on Erev Pesach into the same mold? Because in and of itself, there's nothing inhibiting us from starting the process of Shechitas Korban Tomid on Shabbos at the earliest possible time. Because we don't have Nedarim and Nedavos. So why postpone something? Now, you may say, well, as a general rule, on any Shabbos during the course of the year, 51 out of 52 Shabbos of the year, we bring the Korban at 7:30. Why not do the same when Shabbos is on the 14th on Erev Pesach? But the answer is that here we have the massive amount of Korban Pesach that we have to bring. So we have a vested interest to bring the Korban Tomid as early as possible. Let's do that at Sheshu Mechza. Ah, you'll ask me, we don't have such a thing. We do have such a thing. and nobody could deny it, it's in the Mishnah explicitly, that when Friday is the 14th of Nisan, we will bring the Karban Tumid at 6:30. Let's do it on Friday, on the 14th of Nisan, Shabbos as well. We can't do it on the 14th of Nisan of Chol, because we have to consider the Nedarim Nedavos. But once we've freed ourselves of the shackles of the Nedarim Nedavos in a case of Shabbos, then if the 14th of Nisan is on Shabbos, we have no motivating factor to delay the Karban Tumid. We have a very good reason to be mocked in the Karban Tumid, and that's because of the massive amount of Psachim. That's exactly what you do. Hence, Rabbi Akiva's Shita, the Sheish Vemechtza. And that seems to be the Machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Yishmael has Erev Pesach on Shabbos at 7:30. I mean, the Shechita Satamid. He's interested, as we said, about Lahashvos Gumos. But, you know, Lahashvos Gumos means that you're afraid that if we would bring the carbon, if we would shecht the Tumid Shel Bein Abayim an hour earlier, then we might come to make the mistake of equating it with other days of the year. Like, let's say, for example, a regular day of Chol. So we bring the Karban Tumid at 8.5 hours. So how does Rabbi Yishmael justify that if the 14th of Nisan is on Shabbos, we're going to bring the Karban Tumid at 7.5 hours? And what happened to the low plug? So the answer is that there is a factor in Rabbi Yishmael's frame of reference that overrides low pluk, that is weightier and more significant than the flattening out the gavshushiot, as we said before, these little mounds. And that is the fact that we have a massive amount of Karban Pesach to bring. So therefore, even though on Chol the Tumid will be brought at 8.5 hours, on Shabbos of Erev Pesach, it's going to be brought at 7.5 hours. But now you'll ask me a different question. Well, if your motivating factor that overrides low plug is the massive amount of psachim, and that overrides low plug, why not go all the way, as Rabbi Akiva would insist, and establish the earliest time for the Shechita, meaning at Sheish Vemechtza? So if it was Chol, if the 14th of Nisan was on a weekday, I understand that we can't go all the way back. We have to find that compromise of Sheva Vemechtza because of the Nedarim Nedavos. But when we get to Shabbos on Erev Pesach, and we don't have the factor of Nedarim Nedavos, then we should go back all the way to the earliest time for the Shechita. So it seems to me that at this point, just 1 second. At this point, Rabbi Akiva is going to completely ignore the low plug if the 14th of Nisan is on a weekday, then Sheva Vemechtza is what it has to be, because we have to juggle between the massive amount of Karban Pesach and the Nedarim Nedavos. If, on the other hand, it's the 14th on Shabbos, and we don't have the consideration of Nedarim Nedavos, then the consideration of the massive amount of Psachim is going to compel us to start the Tumid at the earliest possible time, at Sheish Vemechtza. But then you'll ask me, well, if the 14th of Nisan would be on a chol, you would bring it at Sheva Vachetzi. Now, because it's Shabbos, you bring it as early as Sheish Vachetzi. You've really now set up a mechanism that should involve what I call an internal low plug in the case of the 14th of Nisan on Shabbos. In the case of the 14th of Nisan. Leave out the word Shabbos, right? So you have the 14th of Nisan. On a weekday, you're going to bring the Tomid Shel Ben Arvayim at 7:30. And on a Shabbos, according to Rabbi Kiva, you're going to bring it as early as 6:30. What about Lo Plug? And here's where I think Rabbi Akiva would quote the precedent of the 14th of Nisan on a Friday. So that the package deal about the 14th of Nisan is not signed and sealed. It's not completely engraved in 7.5 hours. Because when the 14th of Nisan is on a Friday, the Karban Tumid is going to be brought at 6.5 hours. So within Erev Pesach itself, we have that threefold subcategorization. If it's a chol, then we're going to bring the Karban Pesach at 7.5. Just one second. If it's chol, we're going to bring it at 7.5. If it's Friday, we're going to bring it at 6.5. So our choices now, with regard to the 14th of Nisan, are either 7.5, in a case of any day of the week other than Friday, or 6.5 in the case of Friday. So those are my two choices on the 14th of Nisan. Says Rabbi Akiva, if the 14th of Nisan is on Shabbos, what should inhibit me from activating that precedent of Friday of Sheish Vamechta? Since I want to expand the opportunities of bringing the Karban Pesach, I don't have the pressure of delaying the Karban Tumid by Nedar because of Nedar Medavis. Let's hang our hat on that peg of our Basar Be'erev Shabbos, I meant to say. And there we have already a precedent of Sheish Vamechta. So I said to you, and with this I want to end the shiur, that I thought intuitively, according to Abai's presentation, Rabbi Yishmael is correct. And that in a case of Yudalid bin Nisan, we should equate Chol and Shabbos, and the time is 7:30. But I don't think so anymore. I think now the ball is in Rabbi Shmuel's court because intuitively Rabbi Akiva makes more sense. Because since within the context of Yudalid, we have two possibilities already in terms of Chol. We have, 6 days of Chol as opposed to Friday, or 5 days of Chol, I should say. And in Friday, we can already bring the Karban Tumid at 6:30. Then why not, in the case of Shabbos, equate Shabbos with Friday? What is it? Achiram Lahatos here. I mean, Rabbi Shmuel is playing a game over. Rabbi Shmuel says, well, most of the time on the 14th of Nisan, we would bring the Karban Tumid at 7.5. Let's do the same on Shabbos on the 14th of Nisan. I don't know how attractive of a position that is. Now, what we're up to, and here's where we're going to stop, is a discussion about Musafim and Bazichin. So tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we'll talk a little about Bazichin and Musafim, and we'll see whether Musafim come before Bazichin, whether Bazichin come before Musafim, and why and how that kicks in to our whole discussion. And tomorrow, Mr. Shem, we'll finish the Rambam's Hakdama to Kodshim. Okay, then?
Thank you, Rabbi.
Let me just read this note. It says, Omnam b'shar Shabbatot mode Rabbi Akiva shezman ha-shchita hu b'shmona u'mechta k'shar yemos hachol shelo ratzu lehakdimo k'dei shelo yavo lakdim gam b'chol. So on a weekday, we have vested interest in pushing off and delaying the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim because of the massive amount of Nedarim and Nedavos that have to be brought before the Korban. And then we arrive at 8 Vamechtza, and that we're going to apply even on a Shabbos, even though there are no Nedarim and Nedavos. And that's again this concept of flattening, you know, the mounds here and Lahashvos Gumos and Lo Plug. He says, El Shabbat Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos. Now, Sover Rabbi Akiva, here's where Rabbi Akiva comes into play, because again, you know, the impression you get is that Rabbi Shmuel is operating to a large extent, putting a lot of the weight on the issue of Lo Plug, and Rabbi Akiva is putting less of an issue on Lo Plug. And we can demonstrate that from the fact that Rabbi Shmuel on Erev Pesach, on Shabbos, is going to delay the Shechita of the Tamid by an hour, even though there's no consideration of Nedarim Nedavos, because he wants to equate it with Chol, with the 14th of Nisan on Chol, and therefore it's 7:30. Rabbi Kiva seems to be less pressured by this low plug situation, but yet on a regular Shabbos during the course of the year, he will apply a kind of a low plug svara. But Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos is there, Rabbi Kiva says that since Yesh Tam Lahakdim Machmas Korban HaPesach, Ein Li Achra Machmas HaGzera, meaning a Gzera that you might make some sort of confusion, we added another element into the equation, and that is that he equates it with Erev Shabbos, Shechalios Be'erev Pesach, which means on a Friday on Erev Pesach. He says, Lekach, he quotes a toast, Lo Pirshu Abayis Machlokosom Legabi Kol Shabbos, Kamo Shabir Rabba Bar Ula Lekamon, Biomid Beis, Nishim Shesover Shekulam Modim Shegozru Al Shabbos, Kamo Bechol. So that the push here to interpret the machlokas here with regard to of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva with regard to, is regard to Shabbos is based on something that we'll see later on in Rabba Bar Ula, who holds that everybody agrees that there's a gzeir on Shabbos to equate Shabbos with Chol. Okay, now what we want to address is the next piece of Gemara about B'maikom Miflugi, and that Mr. Shem will pick up tomorrow. We'll also mention here that only Korbanos that have what's called a Zman Kavua are Docha Shabbos, and with regard to Tamid, the Torah says at the end of Bamidbar B'moado. And on Pesach also. But all other karbonos, Shekavulem Zman, it says, Ele Tasu Lashem Bimoadechem. And the Gemara later on in Daf Ayin Zayin is going to darshan from that posuk and derive the conclusion about being Docha Shabbos. So let's just make a note of where we got up to. Here on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, we're up to B'mai Kom Miflugi. which is approximately two-thirds of the way down the Amud, and Mirtz Hashem, we'll start from there tomorrow.